Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world, the tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu.
This is the Real Estate Opportunity and Lifestyles of the South Pacific podcast, a podcast about personal opportunity and financial prosperity. I'm Lance Hunt from Melanesian Waterfront Real Estate Limited. I live in the South Pacific Paradise Island nation of Vanuatu. On this podcast, we regularly update you on current happenings in the Republic of Vanuatu, and we explain how to secure your place in paradise, your future prosperity, and much, much more. I have with me online Richard Butler. Today, he's in Sydney, Australia. You know by now how active Richard is in his role as Trade Commissioner to Australia for Vanuatu. And you should also know that he'll be sharing his insights as a successful real estate developer with close to 40 decades of experience. Hello, Richard.
Yes, hello. That's four decades, not 40 decades.
Oh, but, sorry.
My brother just turned 85 on the 21st and I rang him. I wished him all the best for his 85th birthday. He's just amazed that both him and myself have outlived our parents by substantial years. And I suppose our children are going to do the same. So it really comes down to, as we're going to talk about today, and good morning to everybody that's listening. I got a bit carried away there for a moment with the eight generations. What we're going to talk about today, Lance, is something that's been on my mind for a while. It's almost like the fountain of youth that we're just talking about with my brother being 85 years of age and heading towards 100 and perhaps even more. But you've got to be in the right place at the right time with the right people to avail yourself of the right opportunity is the theme of what I wanted to talk about today.
Well, good.
Sorry, mate, I didn't include you in it. I'm sure you'd understand what I'm getting at about that being in the right place at the right time. I know that many times you've been in the right place at the right time, and so have I, but sometimes not with the right people. Of course, the opportunities which are coming to Vanuatu at the moment in the next 12 to 24, 36 months are quite amazing. Last week, the Prime Minister of Australia, the Honourable Scott Morrison, known locally by his nickname in Australia called ScoMo, and incidentally, his area that he looks after, Cronulla, is very close to where I live in Sydney, Australia. He became the first Prime Minister of Australia since the 1980s. To visit the Republic of Vanuatu, showing due respect for his office. That's a long time between drinks, as they say. But Vanuatu recently has had a flurry of high-ranking politicians and also members of the Royal Crown. Prince Philip, when he opened up the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast of Brisbane, he actually was flown over to Vanuatu by the Australian Air Force, the Australian government, and he went over there and he visited Vanuatu, met the Prime Minister, met the President, went over there with Julie Bishop, who was then the Foreign Affairs Minister, and showing great interest in our archipelago nation of 83 islands, as well as in the rest of the Pacific, of course. The interest was obviously recently peaked with the APEC in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, which I reported on several weeks ago. So it's an amazing time, Lance, isn't it?
Yes, that APEC thing, that was in podcast number 5, The Big Secret.
Yes, well, I think this is podcast 10, I think, since we've started the new regime.
Actually, this is number 9.
Number 9, okay, well, there we are, number 9. What would I do without you, Lance? You keep records on everything. So at that podcast number 5, or The Big Secret, there was reported that over $3 billion worth of infrastructure is going to be offered on what is commonly called a soft loan basis to the islands. It was announced that this will help them prosper on the international stage and provide a better lifestyle for the people living basically on the Pacific doorstep to Australia and New Zealand. I know originally coming from New Zealand, we have one of the largest Polynesian populations in Auckland. Quite amazing how big our Polynesian population is. I went to school with people from Fiji and Samoa and Tonga and Rarotonga. It's just part of your lifestyle. But as a property developer of almost 40 years experience, I have unashamedly been a groupie following the investment very closely to investment in infrastructure. Sometimes it works brilliantly for me. Sometimes the gamble has been elongated because of the delays in the infrastructure planning becoming a reality, which is part of the risk factor you take. So the whole concept is that you try to get a better ROI, rate of interest return, for those who understand it, by if there's a large development being done, like a wharf or an airport, you try and get a subdivision close by to that airport or that infrastructure development, because you know it's going to increase in value, like a large shopping center, for example. If you know that there's a large Westfields going into an area, or if you know that there's a new train station being upgraded or a new railway line coming in, you know that there's going to be a demand for people living in that area. And I'm sure most people listening to this podcast would have seen example of this over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, depending on your age. Lance, the most amazing thing is that the world's changed. This has been brought to my attention this morning by a radio report that's been reporting on a conference that's been held in Europe. I think it's in London. Sir David Attenborough, who's 92 years of age and has been putting lifestyle, animals and humanitarian articles together and television shows, said that when he first started in the 50s, we had one third of the population that we have today. We're now 70 years later, and we've got two thirds more population than what we had 70 years ago. Now, that's just amazing. What's it going to do in the next 25, 30 years as we head towards 2050? The prices of food is going to increase. The quality of life is so very, very important. And this seminar that they had, the conference they had, which even had the New Zealand Prime Minister, and she did a great job talking on it, I might add, was talking about having to save what we have. And that's what Sir David Attenborough was saying, is that we have to protect the planet. And of course, this is bringing the emphasis into the South Pacific as one of the most unspoilt parts of the world. And of course, Vanuatu is just an ecotourism paradise, and it has to be protected, and it will be protected. All this interest in the South Pacific, which has been brought on by nations around the world, is actually being brought on by people like Sir David Attenborough and Prince William, saying, look, we have to look after the planet. So Vanuatu sits as one of the prize jewels of the world, of the planet, and it will be protected and looked after for many, many years. So now is the right time to basically start looking at investing into Vanuatu, I believe. The big question is, does infrastructure make a difference? Well, of course it does. Anybody who recently has visited China would be able to confirm the highway systems, the increase in automobile traffic, the new railway lines, the train stations, and also the upgrading of all the airports. Guangzhou Airport has 65 million passenger movements a year. But recently, China has opened up the longest overwater roadway from Macau through to Hong Kong. I think this has got to be one of the biggest infrastructure developments ever done. This is probably the most amazing bridge that's ever been built at this point of time. It's 55 kilometers long. It consists of a series of three cable bridges and undersea tunnels and four artificial islands to be able to lock the roadwork and the concrete bouncing across the ocean. It's both the longest sea crossing and the longest fixed link on Earth. It took 9 years to build, and $20 billion was the estimated cost. $20 billion and 9 years to build it. Amazing. But what would you expect from a country, of course, that built the Great Wall of China, one of the very few structure on the planet that can be seen from space and a satellite? So you can only imagine how much tourism this is going to bring, linking Hong Kong with Macau's casinos and what I would call the best known tourist areas of Asia for the rest and recreation for the Chinese people. Personally, myself, I just love to fly to Hong Kong and drive down that road just to experience 55 kilometers. That's a long way, and what an amazing highway. So that's an infrastructure development that's well worth talking about. And this amazing infrastructure expenditure is obviously going to bring dollars into Macau, both from mainland China and the rest of the world, thereby encouraging investment, making the area more prosperous, and providing a better lifestyle for the locals and those visiting from Hong Kong and mainland China. Amazing, Lance, isn't it?
Okay, Richard, but Are you expecting someone to build a bridge to Vanuatu? What has this got to do with our podcast today when we're talking about the South Pacific, especially the Republic of Vanuatu?
Well, it'd be nice if they could build a bridge, but of course, obviously, we have 3 hours flight from Sydney, 2 hours flight from Brisbane. It's just an example of what you can do if you have the funds to do it. We've had amazing interest from Australia, New Zealand, China, Japan, Korea, Singapore, and all other countries around the Pacific Rim, not to mention from Europe, America. There's an amazing amount of countries interested in helping Vanuatu now that we're a member of the World Trade Organization. And recently at APEC, Vice President of America, Pence, confirmed a combined infrastructure to the South Pacific with Australia and New Zealand to a total of $3 billion. And as I said this week, the Prime Minister has confirmed the funds for upgrading the police station in Port Vila as well, upgrading of the training facility and assistance with the training of a further new 300 police officers. You've got to remember that our island of Efate, which is where Port Vila is, we've got about 45,000 people living on it, but we have 83 islands in total. So police officers are required for all the islands. So coming back to my opening line, you have to be in the right place at the right time with the right people to get the right opportunity, and infrastructure can supply that opportunity for you.
Okay, so why is Vanuatu in the right place?
That's a pretty good question to ask. It has a strategic position as a land base that was used. A lot of people don't realize this, but during World War II, the Americans launched the defense against Japan in the Coral Sea. So Vanuatu was a very strategic position, a military as well. No one really likes to talk about it, but that's a real reality. My crystal ball is telling me that although we're only a very small nation, a drop in the South Pacific, because of our South Sea position, governments such as Australia and New Zealand are fully aware of the opportunity to assist, not just Vanuatu, but all of the South Pacific nations, and the humanitarian, but also strategic development with regard to the possibility that these could be used as a stepping stone in any conflict. With heaven above, we don't believe it's going to happen. We don't want to see it happen, but that is a possibility.
All right. And you said the right time was important. What's your take on the timing?
There's a new war going on now, which we don't probably even realize that it's actually happening. But those in the Pacific are actually talking about it regularly. The Pacific nations are saying, well, look, we've done nothing to climate change, but our water levels are increasing now. Vanuatu and where our island is, for example, our papaya plantation sits on a plateau 200 meters above the high water mark. We'll never have a problem there with rising tides. The same with the Pacific Haven Resort. We're actually elevated the land. We're on the side of the bay. We've elevated 1.8 meters above the high water mark. So we're never going to have any problems there as far as climate change as well. But there are some smaller islands that are basically atolls, coral atolls. And of course, they really, very rarely are much more than about 3 meters above the high water mark. So this is South Pacific war going on with climate change. What's happening is all the larger nations of the world are now being canvassed by the South Pacific and saying, look, we didn't have factories. We're not contributing towards water raising, the polar caps melting, et cetera, et cetera. So you guys are going to have to do something to help us. So this is really one of the major reasons why countries around the world are looking at trying to put infrastructure into the islands to appease that requirement. And of course, because we're there as well, we're benefiting from that infrastructure, but also that's on a commercial basis, but on a lifestyle basis, obviously, too, the people of Vanuatu, the Nevans and the people of the other islands, they're actually benefiting because their lifestyle is becoming, I suppose, to be more commercial. I mean, the most amazing thing that I often find is that how many people in the world don't have a bank account. When I first went to Vanuatu 10 years ago, banking was very, very limited in the outside islands. And now people have got iPhones, they've got electronic banking. And if they've got electronic banking, then they can basically sell goods and they can get their money into their electronic bank account. And of course, they can spend it on buying goods for themselves. So their lifestyle is benefiting from this infrastructure. Their lifestyle will be benefiting from this war that I call it that's going on with climate change. There is some real big changes coming.
So there's this concept that the poorer nations get help with education and opportunity to trade with the rest of the world. Even tourism, I guess, is one of the things that assists these Pacific countries.
Yes. Well, of course, obviously it does. The main two products we have is tourism and agriculture as far as bringing dollars. What people do come for is they come for the coral seas, the most unbelievable clean and clear ocean, super friendly and relaxed lifestyle, the happy-go-lucky island native people that both Lance and I can attest to. And recently, you know, talking about that war, the Prime Minister of Fiji put forward last week when Morrison was there that this war is already raging, this war against climate change. Being in the right place at the right time is getting a benefit from the position in the world at the present time, finally recognizing that they have to do something about climate change. We have to have better facilities in the South Pacific Islands to help the people out. And this is also to note that because Vanuatu has one vote as a nation equal to any other member company of the United Nations, when America, China, or Russia, they want, or Europe or Japan, when they want to get the United Nations to vote for something for their benefit, they obviously look for those one vote nations such as Vanuatu. And if they can do some infrastructure requirements to assist them, and then perhaps maybe Vanuatu might vote with them at a major vote in the United Nations. So these larger cashed up brothers see an opportunity to generally assist on the basis of aid for trade or a vote aligned with them at the United Nations. So this is why I believe Vanuatu is in the right place at the right time for the next decade.
Ah, so these bigger nations are looking for smaller ones to help with their agendas in the UN.
Well, that's the way it works. You scratch my back and I scratch yours. And as Prime Minister Morrison, ScoMo we call him, if you're going to step up, you have to show up. How simple and true that advice from the Australian Prime Minister, which I'm passing on to you today. It's now time to step up, it's now time to show up, and now is the time to invest in the Republic of Vanuatu. The opportunity is here today for you to purchase at our Pacific Haven Resort Bungalows or Malakula Farmlands Project. It's never been a better time to step up and show up and call up and let myself and Lance and our dedicated team work with you to provide obligation-free details about our projects. As we said, we expect the first direct flights to come out of Guangzhou Airport in southern China. Guangzhou Airport has 65 million passenger movements in a year. We only need a couple of hundred thousand of passenger movements to see our property values increase. There is a direct correlation between tourism and investment and property values in the area which is receiving that. I believe as much as 50 to 100% over the next 3 to 5 years. I hope I'm proven right. Always, of course, subject to market conditions, and always we advise you must get advice from independent lawyers and independent accountants if you're an investor. And you must always read our disclaimers attached to all our podcasts and all our websites, etc. So that brings us up to date, Lance, with the podcast for this week. I hope people find it interesting. I do personally believe that we are in the right place at the right time for people to start looking generally at investing into the Republic of Vanuatu with our projects. Of course, the Malakula Farmlets, we've had a fabulous response last week to conferences that we went to. Just amazing public interest in what we're doing. And of course, obviously, with the Pacific Haven Resort site now that the airport runway will be completed shortly. And I was talking yesterday, by the way, to a very established, well-known tourist operator in Port Vila. He said that the major benefit for him is not so much the Chinese coming in, but with the new airport, we'll get code share back from Qantas and we'll also get Air New Zealand flying back in as well. And those two things alone will increase the occupancy factor in the local resorts substantially. So it's not just the Chinese coming to Vanuatu. It will be from Australia and New Zealand upgrading with new code share agreements with Air New Zealand and with Qantas.
I hadn't realised that. That's good.
Yes, it is. It's great. And that's what you get when you talk to someone. You talk to a local. I often used to say to people when you're in a city, if you want to know what's going on, ask a taxi driver. If you want to know what's going on in tourism, ask a local operator and he'll tell you exactly where he sees the future. And he's there, Coconut Palms it's called, one of the nicest properties in Port Vila, and I can highly recommend it. And also he has another project called Mariner Apartments. They're a fabulous position right in the heart of the city that he manages those as well. So he gave me that information. We had a chat and I really enjoyed it. So look, if you're interested, don't hesitate to reach out to Lance or myself and we'll be more than happy to talk one-on-one with you, give you any advice and try and help you with maybe thinking about investing into some of our projects. We like to really invite you to holiday in Vanuatu or Port Vila or Santo. In the very near future, we'll have Pacific Haven up and running. This operator also said to me, Lance, just by the by, he said, if you do that right and do it upmarket with only 23 bungalows, he said, you will be successful. And that was good hearing it come from a local operator. That's the end of the podcast today. We look forward to talking to you all again next week. And Lance, as always, thank you for your help and your assistance with the podcast.
It's been a great week. A lot of important things happening this week. We're happy to welcome you all to Vanuatu. We look forward to seeing you listeners in person when you come. All right then. Well, bye, Richard, and bye, listeners.